Hello and welcome to the first ever Sussex Founders podcast. Now in this series we're going to get to meet some of the great software businesses being built in and around Brighton and Sussex. We'll talk to the founders and understand how they're growing their business, their product and their team. In each episode we'll talk to a different founder and find out what makes them tick. But in this first episode we're going to tell you a little bit more about Sussex Founders and what we're all about. It's not just a podcast, there's also a series of events you can come along to meet other founders, and there's a website where you can find out more about all the other cool startups in Sussex and what they're getting up to. So, without any further delay, let's get on with the first episode. Cool, so welcome to our first two guests. I say guests, but I guess we're more of co-organisers of Sussex Founders. So I've got with me Jonathan Markwell, who's co-founder of co-working space The Skiff, and Simon Kimber, who's co-founder and CTO of website builder platform create.net. So great to have you here. It's exciting to finally start our first episode.
Hello.
It's been far too long since I've been involved in a podcast, hence not really articulating myself.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit nervous about coming across well, because it's one of those things when you're starting a podcast, you're always kind of in the knowledge that the first one's not going to be great, but we've kind of decided to jump in and kind of go for it.
We're making our excuses now.
Yeah, we'll get them in early. So I guess we should probably talk a little bit about what Sussex Founders is about, and kind of where it's come from, really, because it's a bit of an evolution of a previous project that you guys have worked on for a long time called Open Coffee. So I don't know if you guys want maybe like talk a little bit about that and kind of give us a background of what that's been all about.
I think John was there from the beginning of Open Coffee. So
I think it was back in 2007. I was running a business that was getting on for about a year old, and we were feeling a bit socially isolated, and we were going to the web conferences. I think it was the Future of Web Apps was the one early that year, that I think it was the second version of that we went along to, and I think it was at that conference that Sol Klein, a London VC, decided it was time to get the investor community and the founder community a little bit more together, chatting informally. And so I think over the lunch, he ran the first Open Coffee in London. And he said this is going to be a regular thing. Wrote a blog post on it. I think his blog that's still up is called Local Globe. And he invited people around the world to start their own in their own areas. And we thought, well, there's a bit of a movement here, so let's use this as a thing to start getting together like minds in Brighton.
And when was that? So this was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I think it was around June, July 2007. And the original co-founder with me was Ian Oswald, mm-hmm. Who's quite well known in the Python community now. And I think he runs a data science group in London. But yeah, he's left Brighton, and so when he was leaving Brighton, I was left with Open Coffee, and it had a few like breaks. And I think it was one of those breaks that it was, I can't remember if it was you or Steve Penfold that I teamed up with.
I think Steve Penfold sort of teamed up first.
Yeah.
And then you went off to South America.
Yeah.
And I stepped in and started helping organise it from there.
Yeah, so that would have been 2011, I think.
Nice, yeah, because I kind of remember going to it for the first time maybe 10 years ago, and it was very much kind of investor-focused, I guess. Well, it was all about kind of startups meeting investors, and it's interesting how that kind of dynamic has kind of changed over the last few years. It feels like, well, I guess that comes on a bit to why we've decided to change the name and change the positioning a bit, because it does feel like there's been a bit of a shift in recent years away from almost an obsession with startups to completely go for getting investment money before they've even maybe built a prototype or got any traction. And it feels like the whole kind of indie hackers movement and lean startups has pushed people into a more kind of product and customer first way of thinking. And it feels like that is part of the reason why we've kind of decided to make the change. And would you agree with that? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly back when we started Open Coffee, Sussex was also almost a reason that Ian and I wanted investment for some of the projects we were working with, and that we didn't really feel that we had other options. Even though we were running independent businesses, we felt really to get the kickstart we needed to raise some money, and there wasn't a natural sort of centre of gravity for investors. And over the years, we had quite a few investors, mostly angels with relatively small portfolios, participating. Huge numbers of people that are looking for investors, and often disappointed when it's not one of the months which any investors turned up. And I guess, you know, over the 12-13 years, my view on the world has changed quite a bit, and lots of us have popularized bootstrapping and shown everybody how actually you can make very, very decent internet or software businesses just by being careful with your time and investing your own money from a service business maybe or some other source.
Mm-hmm. And it was always the format of the events was always kind of around a coffee morning, wasn't it? It was literally a once a month thing, and people got together and they were kind of talking about these problems, but it was always through the kind of prism of looking for investment, wasn't it? I guess a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think to be fair, I think Sol Klein's view was that, and I share it on other fronts, is that you can't go straight into a relationship with someone, meeting them for the first time, with the expectation of getting investment at the end of it, or anything else, like finding a co-founder as well. It's like, or finding a husband or a wife, Being that intentional doesn't usually get you anywhere, whereas if you have an environment where you can just get to know people and maybe become friends with people and build relationships with people, then eventually the right situation will emerge whereby actually they are interested in what it is you're doing, and maybe there's an opportunity to, you know, for both of you to work together and turn it into an investment or something like that. Like, just rushing to the point of saying I need investment and pitching people straight away, I don't think has ever worked for anyone. Rarely works.
You see, I'm sort of thinking back. I'm sort of wondering why I was there in the first place.
Yeah.
Really. With Create being, you know, we're a bootstrap business, I think, I don't know. I feel like it was even sort of when I got involved, it was, I don't think the focus was on investment maybe as much as it had been when you started it. Originally, I know that obviously with not being sort of a investment seeker myself, I was kind of the conversations I was having was probably with more with sort of people who were starting up and were sort of where I'd been years before, and having those sort of conversations about, you know, hiring developers for the first time or moving out of your bedroom into a proper office, and that's what I sort of enjoyed. Sort of helping people to sort of take that next step and sort of turn their sort of home businesses into proper businesses, in inverted commas. I guess it's I think it felt like the tail end of, and I remember there sort of being some sort of investor types sort of would be there sort of now and again, but the people that sort of kept coming back were the people that I'd sort of had conversations with more on the sort of bootstrapping sort of side of things.
So it's been kind of a bit of a long transition, and this is not necessarily going to be an overnight change in message. Like, if you've been to some of the events, you've probably been talking to people about problems you're working on with your company, like you say, you know, hiring, all these kind of typical things. It hasn't really been about investor conversations that for the last few years that I've been going. So I think this is really this change that we're going through is really just a clarification of what it had morphed into.
Yeah, I think some of the most interesting people, that not to belittle the people that weren't invested, but some of the most interesting people that I've met there have been sort of investors and have been doing really cool things, but they've sort of, I guess they've maybe sort of been there looking for potential companies to invest in, but it's never felt like a sort of a meat market like that. So
I would hazard a guess that those investors that you had the best conversations with were actually founders, and so they were people that had sort of been through founding a business and happened to then have been choosing to an investor path as something that they would do
looking for the next thing
after an exit.
Yeah.
And some of those investors or people that have sort of introduced themselves as investors are now actually back as more probably introducing themselves as founders, having decided to go down that path rather than the building a portfolio path. And so really, I think, you know, summing up the best bits of this event we've been running, it's been founders having conversations with other founders, regardless of whether or not they're in a position to invest or not, and the most valuable part of it is when at least one side of that conversation, often it's two, both sides have got to a significant point already, in building a business, and so there may be only a few steps behind the other, and there's so much to learn from people who are a few steps ahead of you, and sometimes people that are a few steps behind you as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So, like, if we were trying to describe the kind of target audience that we're kind of aiming for with the Sussex Founders now, what kind of people would you imagine would be interested in what we're going to be doing?
I'm interested in sort of talking to people who are. I think we're all interested in talking to peers more than the sort of the meeting of sort of two different worlds as it was. I think I'm definitely interested in having those sort of conversations with other people who are facing the same problems that I'm facing in my business. But I sort of, as John was saying, it's there's definitely also something to be had from speaking to the people that are a few steps behind you in terms of getting inspiration and looking at things in new ways that maybe you're sort of getting stuck in your ways, having been doing something one way for a while. So, but I think it's much more about peers. It's much more about people with the same issues in their businesses and the same challenges. For me,
yeah, I agree, and I would expect some weighting towards people that are interested in either software or, you know, more or digital products. I think there's sort of the people that have been coming the longest and have sort of been making the most progress and sticking with the community have been people building software as a service businesses. Don't really want to exclude others, but it doesn't feel it. Things start to feel a bit odd when it's serial networkers that just want to go to every single event because that's their business model for finding new business. And so, you know, coming along because you're trying to find new customers, and so, you know, you might be pitching your legal services or accounting services or something like that. I don't want to exclude people, but I you might not feel as comfortable as you might at other events. The other thing, the things I'd like to change about who turns up a little bit, because I think in general the right audience does turn up, has turned up every month, but hopefully just making it feel a bit more accessible to people that are just not interested in investment for whatever reason, making it more inclusive. I think we're all very conscious that we're three white guys, which is like your typical startup demographic, and, you know, we want to do what we can to help everybody else in the community do similar things as us. And we are, you know,
Brighton's a good place. It doesn't feel like a kind of the bro community that, you know, the sorts of experience that you see if you watch Silicon Valley, the comedy show. It's a lot more of a mix, and it's very rare that that an open coffee is just all white men, fortunately, in Brighton.
I can imagine. I think this is an interesting issue to kind of go a bit further into, because this is one of the key things that I think we're trying to get across, is that, you know, Sussex and Brighton is a great place to start a SaaS business. And I think a lot of the time there's a lot of obsession with kind of London and you've got to be there. But there's a lot of downsides to being in London, and there's a lot of great things about building something down here. And I think that's probably one of the things we want to try and highlight, is some of the really super successful SaaS businesses that have come out of here. Because a lot of the time you might not realise how many have come from here. So that's one of the things I think certainly we'll look to address and get those people to attend the events as well. But I'd be interested to hear from your guys' perspective of what is so great about building a company in Sussex or Brighton compared to building it in London. Because I've certainly got some thoughts on that. I bet you guys have from doing it for so many years.
I think, I guess, having sort of talked to people who are doing similar things up in London, you could take this as a positive or negative. I think it's a lot more relaxed down here. I think the London scene, if you like, it seems to be quite a bit more high pressure. Whereas it can veer slightly towards things get done when they're done down here, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you manage that, I think that's. That can be a lot more rewarding and a lot less stressful. So, that's my sort of small take on that. I don't know how John feels about that.
I've lived in quite a few different places, and this is the place that I consider home, and I feel most settled. And, these sorts of businesses can be run by anywhere, from anywhere. And so if you can run them from a place that you might, you know, that many people even consider retiring to, it's such a nice part of the world, why wait to retire to live in the place where you want to live, by the sea, in the Downs, wherever it might be. You don't need to be in the hustle and bustle of the smoke.
No,
to do this sort of stuff. Well, although I would just counter and say that I think this is this strength of, you know, if you're in a great place to work, you can, you know, there's different kinds of hiring opportunities when you've got people that have that same feeling with you, that this is just where they want to be longer term. You can make longer term plans with them. You might not have as high staff turnover to worry about and that kind of thing. But critically, it's also part of, in my view, making a decision not to go down a sort of traditional investment path, because I do think if you really do want to go down that path, you probably should be in London or San Francisco or mm-hmm. some other startup hub where that kind of serious growth is at home, and where there are lots of people that want to be in that kind of a business. I know there are people in Brighton that would take issue with that position. They want to turn Brighton into more of a startup hub, and I've been there before, but I really think it's more of a nice place to have a lifestyle.
Absolutely, and it feels like there's some practical things about having a company here that make it easier to get started. Certainly office space and access to talent is something that I think is getting better every year down here. Plus, if you do need to go to London, you're only an hour away. So like, there's a lot of benefits to be had from just being a bit further outside of London. Of course, you've got the quality of life, you can walk everywhere. That alone makes things a lot quicker. If you're having meetings, you're not having to go on the tube all the time. But yeah, I think there's a lot of great things going on.
I'd be interested to know what I would imagine the ratio of bootstrap to investment funded businesses down here is a lot more in favour of bootstrapped than London. It's probably a lot easier to bootstrap a business at Brighton prices
Absolutely.
Rather than London prices.
I mean, you've almost got to go for investment just to pay for a WeWork type office. Yeah, so like that alone kind of makes it a lot easier to get up and running down here. And, you know, as we move more and more towards a remote first workforce, you know, you can access talent from all over the world. You don't necessarily have to have them sat in a glass cubicle in London, you know, at great cost. So there are loads of reasons to consider kind of choosing Brighton and Sussex as your place to get started. But I guess it would be good to look at what we're going to be doing. So it started as a monthly kind of coffee morning, and that's not going to go away. I think that's quite an important thing to make clear. So it might be good to talk about how that will kind of work in the future, and then what other kind of events people can expect us to do. It's still kind of early days, but we've had some initial ideas of other formats of events that might kind of come into existence.
Yep.
I say, obviously we'll carry on the sort of monthly meeting on the second Thursday of every month. Get the date in there, I think we'd like to grow that to I guess sort of continue some of those conversations that come out of that, sort of do some maybe slightly more formal things, maybe with a speaker, sort of founders dinners or something like that. I think there's a reasonable list of ideas.
Yeah, we there's a few of them we've kind of experimented with before, but with closed groups that have kind of come out of Open Coffee. So they've had a couple of working titles over the year, one being Brighton Dynamic and another Make Scale, which is like a group that we've invited people into that we feel are kind of at a level or making progress such that we think that they would benefit from a bit more contact with their peers that are in a different place from most people. And what we've done for those is we've gone on 90-minute walks in the Downs, and we've been out for meals, and we've done day-long kind of retreaty things. Doing some woodland skills
on occasion,
sitting around campfires and things.
We've done a couple of round tables with some people that sort of exited and sort of sharing their stories. That's been really interesting.
And visiting, when people have offices, visiting their offices and, you know, being hosted by the companies and sort of. So those sorts of gatherings have been sort of limited to 10 to 20 people. And we haven't run them for a while, but we want to kind of make it a bit clearer that this group is here, make it a little bit less closed and create opportunities for other people to come and have that experience, because there's so much that you can learn once a safer space has been created. Like, it's amazing how much more people will share once they're sat in their own office talking about their company than maybe they would over a coffee in a coffee shop. And the same is true once you've walked up a few steep hills together. I think the more people share with each other, the better off we'll all be. One of the best advantages that you get from investors is their experience, and if you ever have an investor, the best thing to do with them is use that and try and continue to build a relationship after you raise money from them. But the alternative is to build strong relationships with other people that are a few steps ahead of you or have had some shared experiences.
I think that closed that those sort of more slightly more closed groups give you a bit more confidence to sort of share some problems that. Once you've sort of got to know the people in that group, and you've maybe seen them a bit more regularly, you're more sort of confident to share things that you might not want to just sort of share at a coffee morning in a group of currently strangers.
And I guess that there are alternatives to this which exist that are not geographic. So there's a lot of great forums. Like I'd strongly recommend participating in the
indie hackers forums, there are many others. There's the microconf community. I'm not sure if they still call it Founders CAF. There's various really good resources for learning online and connecting with people online. And the more extreme version of that is like mastermind groups where you might just have 10 people that are in a Slack together and occasionally get on a Skype call.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fantastic, and that's hugely valuable to lots of people. But some people, myself included, I just find it so much easier building relationships with people in the real world. And so a deliberate decision we're making is to take a lot of emphasis off any online tools, and this is all about in-person events and getting to know people there, and then maybe some people will create some channels to communicate online, but that's not the focus of what we're doing.
No, and I guess outside of the events themselves, the other kind of change that I guess we're making is doing things like this. So trying to highlight and bring attention to some of the great companies down here. And I guess as we look forward to future episodes of the podcast, we'll be talking more to founders down here who are building great things and hearing more about their stories and why they choose to do it in Sussex. And certainly we'll try and highlight some of those on our website as well, which is coming up. It is worth reiterating that the event itself will be the second Thursday of every month, and to keep up to date on where that is, it's a good idea to just sign up to the mailing list at sussexfounders.com. So I guess there's one other question that we're going to try and make a bit of a trend on every podcast, and I think it's an interesting question to ask at the end. So obviously there's a lot of great companies down here, so who's your favourites, and who excites you the most at the moment, and who are you watching? So who wants to go first?
I guess one that I've really enjoyed following over the last couple of years is Buzzshot.
Mm-hmm.
Which is founded by Tom Parslow, who's a member of the SCIF, and he spent many years being a freelancer specialising in Python and JavaScript and all sorts of other stuff. He's a super smart guy, and he got quite into escape rooms, and I think some members of his family got into escape rooms, and he realised that he could write some software to help escape rooms function, and he's now got to the point, we should have him on the podcast at some point, but he's taken this really super niche idea of software for people that run escape rooms, and he now doesn't need any client work, and he's has a couple of people that he hires to help him out with it, and he's grown all that from his desk at the SCIF, just completely funded by his freelance income, and now he doesn't have to do any client work.
Fantastic. That's exactly the kind of story we'd be looking to highlight, I guess, in the next few months.
Yeah. I guess another one we probably want to highlight John and I had lunch with him a week or so ago. Gareth from deckchair.com, who are making these amazing sort of high quality webcams that are being put on the top of sort of hotels in Dubai and interesting places around the world. And he sort of showed us a bit of his story of sort of getting the hardware right and the sort of journey he's gone through it's sort of very different to a lot of the other businesses that we sort of come in contact with, because there's this hardware and manufacturing element to it where they've sort of iterated and built these cameras that sort of have to withstand sort of massive sub-zero temperatures at the top of hotels in, I don't know, snowy Alps.
Yeah.
To places in the middle of the desert in sort of plains of Africa and stuff. So, I think he's got some really interesting stories to tell about his journey. And I think it's, I've found that sort of really exciting, sort of seeing what he's doing and something a bit different.
Yeah. Awesome.
Very much recommend checking out deckchair.com and seeing some of the photos and time lapses, because it's like, this is not what you expect from a webcam. These are digital SLR cameras that are taking amazing shots, like a photographer's taking them, but as a webcam.
Really sort of time lapse and long exposure things. I think a lot of the times when you see sort of amazing pictures of sort of lightning storms and things on BBC News, they've often been picked up from one of their cameras. Yeah, very cool stuff.
Awesome. Nice recommendations. I guess if I was thinking of one, I mean, there's so many to choose from down here, but one I've been following for the last couple of years, I think a super cool product, is a Story Stream. They seem to be doing super well. So it's a platform for aggregating social content together for brands. They seem to do it a lot for the motor industry. It's a really nice, smooth product. Been built down here for many years, and it's really worth checking out. It's really nice. Nice team and great product. So I think that probably brings to an end our first ever podcast. Hopefully we didn't do too badly, and we're going to be around for the next one. But
we can all breathe out.
Yeah, we can kind of relax a bit now. But next episode will be reverting to our more kind of standard format, where it's an interview with a Sussex founder, kind of one-on-one, typically. So expect more of those. And don't forget to come along to the next event itself on the 8th of August, and sign up for our mailing list on sussexfounders.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And if you want to leave us a review, that'd be amazing, because we need to get up to speed and get
a good review.
A good review, yeah. Preferably. Yeah, that'd be amazing. Although we'll leave it to your judgment based after this first episode. But thanks so much to Simon and John for joining me for the first one. And
no problem.
We'll see you at the next event.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.